This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hour number three, and away we go. It is a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. We all remember March 11th between the Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder, where Rudy Gobert did test positive for the coronavirus, and in a snap of the finger, really, the league did shut down, and that was really the first big-time wake-up call, in my opinion, for us here in America, as we did see our lives get turned upside down, and the entire world really did change, and a big part of that was sports shutting down, where people started to understand the magnitude of this virus. We'll head out to the guest line right now. He was on the call last night as the Jazz did defeat Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans in the first game back in the regular season of the NBA restart. And that's Craig Bowlerjack, the play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. Craig, appreciate the time. How are you?
Hey, Zach, I'm well. Thanks for the call. It's good therapy to stay involved, you know. And it was good to get back playing some basketball last night.
Well, take me back to March 11th. What was it like that night covering the Utah Jazz and just being around a night which we're going to look back at for years and years to come?
You know, Zach, honestly, I kind of was looking for Spielberg. I thought it was a movie. I was waiting, you know, for it all to just kind of, it was so surreal. But I knew it was real. We knew that Rudy, before we got on the bus, myself and Donovan, Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, and Thurl Bailey, my analyst, we sit down with Quinn Snyder, and he said, look, guys, heads up. As you head to the arena, Rudy's being tested. And I thought, holy cow, this could really turn things upside down. And then I kind of got into the game mode. I knew that Rudy wasn't going to play. And as we sat courtside, and Zach, luckily we were courtside in Oklahoma City because a lot of arenas have moved broadcasters here and there, mostly upstairs. And so it was really a godsend to be close to understanding what the conversation was. And then on the corner of my left eye, just seconds before we tipped this game, you know, game up, Tony Bradley, the young kid out of North Carolina, was going to get his third start of his career for Gobert. And an Oklahoma City physician was jumping on the floor. And then in my mind started to click, oh, boy, they've stopped this game. There was a long discussion. We took a timeout, came back, and I knew at that time that Rudy had tested positive and that this game was going to be suspended. And I'll never forget the words. Quinn Snyder right in front of me said, guys, let's go to the locker room. And that's where they headed. And then immediately after I signed off, a minute or two later, I get a text message and said, get to the locker room right now. And so I left bags and I left my prep work and all that. Zach, you know how that is. You just kind of go, okay, let's go back and get the word. But little did I know that they would walk us into a room and shut the door. And from that point on, we really didn't hear from anyone for about 3 hours. And then Quinn Snyder knocked on our door, and our broadcast team was there, radio included. And they said, look, guys, we're going to bring some food in, some drinks, and you will be tested. We will not abandon you. I think at that time, you don't know what's really to expect. Like I said, it had a feeling of a movie, and we were just bit part characters in it. And sure enough, about 12:30 at night, we were ushered into another room. The Jazz had already been tested. We took our turn. And we were met with, you know, individuals in hazmat suits, and we went through that process of the nose swab, the throat swab as well, and then bussed around 2:30 in the morning to a hotel and we were told to stay put. And then I got a phone call the next morning at 8:45, and I said, all right, my life can change right here. And I heard the words, you're negative. But I also heard that Donovan was positive. So the whole process continued with meetings with health officials, and finally Delta was able to find a couple of pilots and a flight crew to actually fly us back to Salt Lake. And then we met with Utah health officials as well in a hangar, who gave us really kind of the rundown of what we had to do and put ourselves in self-quarantine. And so I followed the rules and regs, and here we are today. And it was just a great feeling to get back and call a ball game, despite the fact I was, you know, 1,500 miles away and calling it off the Jumbotron at Vivint Smart Home Arena in Salt Lake City.
What is that like, being in an arena? And we always know, regular season basketball, playoff basketball, the crowds are so raucous. And now you're in the arena, and maybe you have a stats guy with you, your color analysts, and a few other people, and you're broadcasting a game that means so much to people, but there's not many people around you.
No. Zach, again, it's surreal. It's the arena, they're built to be alive with fans, noise, and the highs and lows of a game. And there's seven of us inside that building that holds about 19,000. Thurl Bailey's to my left, about 12 feet. Chris and Kenny, our sideline reporters, on the other side of the arena. Our two radio guys are directly across from us, so I never see them. And we have to enter with masks. We have a machine that you are scanned, and it talks to you, and it says, yes, you may pass, your temperature is normal. And then I go to an elevator, and I go right upstairs, and I really don't have any contact with anyone because our crew, our production staff, is outside in our production truck. And so it's amazing. It's amazing we got on the air. It's an amazing thing how the NBA has put this together. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I really wasn't sure we'd get to this point. But I salute Adam Silver and an incredible staff who made this happen. And let's hope that the bubble stays secure, because it's fun to be, you know, back at it.
Craig Bowlerjack, the play-by-play man for the Utah Jazz, here with us on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned sideline reporters, and you guys aren't in the bubble. How does that work? We all know technology is ridiculous, but are you guys getting players after the game? Are there coaches' interviews? Like, how is that going down?
Yeah, you know what they do, Zoom now is everything, right? Skype, Zoom, whatever the company, you know, decides to use. But, yeah, I've had more Skype and Zoom calls over the last month and a half than I ever thought I would. But it's in vogue right now, and it really has saved the day. It's a way to communicate with a lot of people, especially in the bubble. And I do talk to Quinn Snyder. He holds a press conference every day, and then they bring in two players after practice. And then he and I have our coaches show that we continue to do. We broadcast at three scrimmages. So he and I warmed back up again, you know, after things shut down in OKC. And then last night he joined me. So it's kind of like it was, but not really. I miss that connection, the body language you don't get to see or feel. He has decided to keep his mask on during the interviews, so you don't really get any, you know, expression from him. And so you really have to, I think, as a broadcaster, I found last night, with not a lot of crowd noise, and they try to replicate with a few, you know, music numbers from the jazz arena. But it's just not the same, Zach, as you know. I mean, we all feed off the energy. The calls, my calls are fed off those energies of the players and the fans. And it just doesn't have that same feel. So for me, I'm tested. You know, I've got to bring it, and I don't want to overplay it. But I also, I think I have to compensate some for the lack of energy that the building, you know, automatically gives you. So that's what I really found in the scrimmages. Felt a little more comfortable last night, but because of opening night. And we've got another game tomorrow afternoon against, Oklahoma City. So hopefully this game is played. And we'll get two under our belt.
How do you approach that game up against OKC? Because that was the game where the shutdown did occur. I have to imagine that's going to be a big storyline. But then yet again, it's your second game back.
Yeah, you know, I think there's some balance there. Last night, the Jazz played really well early, up 11, fell down by 16 to New Orleans, and then rallied back to win by a couple. Donovan Mitchell played extremely well, Mike Conley in the second half, and Gobert. How about that story? I mean, Rudy was the first one to be tested positive. He scored the first bucket of the restart last night and then hit the two free throws to win it. And it's an amazing thing, life. You know, he went through so much hell because of the microphone grab and then, of course, the fear of what coronavirus and COVID-19. And then Rudy becomes a part of history again last night with the restart. So that game still plays in our mind, but obviously the Chris Paul, the Dennis Schroeders, and the Steven Adams comes back into play. Because honestly, Zach, those are the last guys I saw. I mean, I saw Paul, I saw Zach, I saw Adams to my left, and they were kind of like, what's going on? And then they got word, and then I saw them take a left turn back to their locker room. So, yeah, I think it has a big importance to the Jazz. Probably more to Rudy and Donovan because that's where their tests were positive and that's where really their life changed right there in Oklahoma City.
Craig Bolajack, the play-by-play man for the Jazz here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Now, I remember, you know, right when we were talking the days after and we saw the microphone situation with Rudy Gobert when he was coughing over the microphones, and I don't think there was malicious intent there.
No.
You look back at it, and I don't want to say I gave him a pass, but I don't think many of us in America understood what was coming ahead. How do you look back at the way that Gobert was perceived, really from the night he tested positive until pretty much like a week and a half after that?
You know, Zach, I think your comment is spot on. I don't think anybody, none of us knew where this was going at the time. Gobert, in his own way, is a jokester, you know, much like Joe Ingles. I mean, these guys make the locker room fun and loose. And I think, you know, again, he's at the time 26 years old and, you know, he's growing up. And I think, again, he wishes it hadn't happened. He was the centerpiece of COVID-19. And, you know, talking to him, before he left, and just over the last couple of days, he's made a couple of appearances on those Zoom calls, press conferences. And I think he really has understood, you know, people grow, people learn. And I know that's a heavy philosophy of discussion, but it's true. I do, you do, everyone does. And I think a lot of people are quick to forgive if the individual understands what he did. And I really believe Rudy did understand. And he was apologetic, and I think that he has grown, and I think he has solved his issue with Donovan Mitchell. I have seen no indication that those two have any issue since that night, and I think they've worked it out, and they both have grown over it, Zach. I really have. So sometimes out of a horrific situation, at least for Rudy and maybe Donovan, they've grown as men, and they understand, I think, maybe what they're – who they are and what they represent, and maybe even have a better appreciation for life and the game of basketball.
So you don't look at that as an issue moving forward between Gobert and Mitchell, right?
No, I don't. I think it's behind them. I think they've made it clear. Donovan didn't, you know, he spoke once, and it was the fact that he didn't want to drag this into the social media platform. And, you know, I applaud him. But again, silence sometimes fuels more rumors. And so my gut tells me the body language on the floor last night and in the three scrimmages, I don't see it. In fact, in scrimmage two against Miami, all four of his assists went to Gobert. And Rudy likes to have that ball on top of the rim, and Donovan found him. And he had a 20-point night. So I think they're both on the same page, and I think they've also been led very well by Quinn Snyder, the head coach, who has had, I think he has the ability to really get down and dirty and just say, let's put this on the table and figure it out. Because what's best for the team really is what it's all about. So Donovan and Rudy, to move forward and the Jazz moving forward, those two have, you know, have had to put it, you know, behind them.
Craig Bolajack, when we look at Bogdanovich not being there because of the wrist surgery, how do they replace his presence?
Well, it's hard. Bogey was a huge acquisition in the off season. You know, 20 points a night, 41% from outside. He's a good finisher, better than I thought. I think we all kind of were locked into him just being a three-point guy, but he's a stronger player than I thought and a finisher at the rim. So what Quinn Snyder has done in the scrimmages and Zach, what we saw last night, he's going with the four-guard lineup with Rudy as the post, and you're seeing Jordan Clarkson play a bigger role here, the sixth man that the Jazz got from Cleveland for Dante Exum. Mike Conley, I think, has finally gotten into better rhythm and in a more comfortable state of mind after playing the 12 years in Memphis. I think he finally understands he doesn't have to have the ball in his hands the entire night like he did in Memphis. He's got ball handlers alongside of him in Donovan. He's got ball handlers in Joe Ingles, and he also has a ball handler in Jordan Clarkson. So what we saw last night was four guards playing a lot of minutes together, trying to up the tempo, forcing turnovers, and also knocking down threes. If you're not hot from outside, then you have to adjust. But last night the Jazz had a hot start, a cold middle, and they finished strong. And I think we'll continue to see this kind of lineup from the Jazz as the seeding games continue on.
With Zion last night, they only played him 15 minutes. I understand load management. I understand managing the minutes. When you're fighting for a playoff spot, could you give me 18? Could you maybe go 20? I'm not asking for 35, 40, but only 15 minutes. I thought that was a bad job by the Pelicans last night.
Yeah, I was surprised too, Zach. Alvin Gentry just kind of let him. He called them, I'm going to give him burst minutes, and he would go four and then rest and go three, and he had seven at the half, and then he really kind of disappeared in the fourth quarter. You know, and I'll be honest, that was a big loss for the Pelicans. They were 3.5 out of the Grizzlies, right? So they lose, and now they start to have to run uphill in a very crowded chase for that final playoff spot in the Western Conference. So for the Jazz, it was a huge win to start because they're trying to chase down Denver for the three and also hold off Oklahoma City, who started last night a game out of the four spot behind Utah. So, yeah, it was a big win for Utah and a big loss for the Pelicans. All these games that will impact, right? And that's going to be the beauty of why I think a lot of fans are back tuning in to watch these games. Eight games really in the world of the NBA, as you know, isn't a lot of basketball. And so whoever hits that ground running and finds that groove and some confidence early is, may surprise some people.
Craig Bowler, Jack, before we let you run, we get in that conversation of seeding and how important is it with no home court advantage. Is there a team, when you look at these potential matchups in the playoffs, that maybe Utah wants to avoid?
Oh, boy. I tell you, they've always had struggles with Harden, and now they've got Westbrook. So I think if you really got down to it, people would say keep the Rockets away. If you had to play Oklahoma City as a 4-5, that's doable. But what it does, it sets you up with a second-round matchup, most likely, with LeBron and the Lakers. If they can sidestep the L.A. teams and they could jump into a three spot, that would be the most probably the best scenario for the Jazz to jump into a second-round playoff matchup. So, if they get to three, I think that's the goal. If they stay at four, they'll live with it. They don't want to drop and find themselves in a position to have to take on, the Clippers or the Lakers if they would have some real struggles and even drop down to the eighth spot. So if they can stay where they are, Zach, or even jump to three, we'll see how Jokic and the Nuggets play. I think that's the best case. I don't think anybody wants to play LeBron or Kawhi. Quite a game last night. 2 points separated those two teams, and LeBron's on another mission as his father time continues to chase him down, but LeBron keeps running away from him. It's an amazing thing to watch.
And last one for you. If you can't take Milwaukee in the East, is there a team that you like?
Oh, my gosh. How about just Toronto sneaking in? I tell you,
they've been great. It's unbelievable.
I tell you, most teams would just falter, I think, after you lose Kawhi and all the hype and the disappointment of him leaving and going west. But I got to give a lot of credit. They've done a marvelous job to stay put together. And I think they're on a mission themselves to prove that it just wasn't a Kawhi championship. It was about team. And there's something to be said about team. You know, we lose track of that sometimes, that we think millionaire players just play individually. No, I'll put the Jazz in the same category as Toronto. They have their own mission. Oklahoma City's burned deep in their brain. They went through their own hell on March 11th. And, you know, Zach, honestly, I think teams that find that extra motivation in this bubble and that can mentally stand up to this stress of being away for upwards of 3.5 months, maybe those two teams are in the forefront of just the mental. They've already been through the mental test of it, right? So we'll see where they go from here. But I think Toronto, if it's not Antetokounmpo and the Bucks, I'm interested to see how Toronto responds too.
Craig Bowler, Jack, good health. Good luck. Have some fun doing these games. We appreciate it.
Hey, Zach, anytime. Take care of yourself.
20 past the hour. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, a story in the bubble that's not getting a lot of attention.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. James Jones going to join us coming up in a little bit. Over a half hour from now, so at the top of the hour. We gave you a big bet last night. I took the under in the game between the Lakers and the Clippers. When there was an opportunity that it could get to overtime, I got a little bit nervous, but we did a nice job covering the under of 218.5, 220, depending on when you did get it. Tonight's big bet, let's get to it. I'm going to look at the other NBA game that has not started yet. So right now you got the Bucks and the Celtics, 71-67. The Bucks are on top of the Boston Celtics. That game in the early stages of the third quarter. So far, the Greek Freak with 18, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Middleton with 15, Brooke Lopez with 12. And for the Boston Celtics, I know Tatum got off to a slow start. Let's see where he's at right now. Ooh, still off to a slow start. Same amount of points as we last talked about him. 21 minutes, only 3 points. Hayward with 11, Walker with 16, Brown with 14, and Smart with 12. Already in the NBA today, you've had the Magic defeat the Nets. Trailblazers come up big. Overtime victory over the Grizzlies, 141-35. Suns, 125. Wizards, 112. And we'll talk about the Spurs in just a moment, as they're up by 3 in the first quarter, 26-23 over the Sacramento Kings. But I look at that game that still has to be tipped off. That's the Rockets and the Mavericks. The Rockets play small ball. You would think, actually, the Rockets would be the favorite in this game. That's why it concerns me a little bit. We know right now it's a dynamic duo league. Harden, Westbrook, a lot to love, and it's still the regular season, so you don't have to be concerned about James Harden showing up yet for the postseason, since these are regular season games. But in the battle of two teams from Texas, I'm actually going to take Dallas here. Dallas is a one-point favorite. I think a lot of people like myself are going to look at the size of Dallas and think that's a problem for Houston, who likes to play the small ball. I believe Robert Covington is going to have to be consistently good for the Rockets to go on a run. I just like Dallas tonight. Young, fun team led by Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. I think they go toe for toe for a while, and punch for punch for a while, but I do like Dallas just getting by the Houston Rockets. The over-under in this one is 231. You probably think the over, but I'm not ready to go a parlay. I don't want to push my luck here after getting victorious last night. So I will take Dallas minus a point to get a victory and win by more than a point. Imagine if this goes on a push like 116, 115. So I do like Dallas to win the game tonight by 2 or 3 points. So give me the Mavericks. That's the big bet. Now we get into a topic of conversation that I did right before the break. And I don't know how many people are talking about this storyline. It's been talked a little bit during the pandemic, but Greg Popovich is 71 years old. So Popovich is 71, and he doesn't have a team that has a great future. You know, who knows how much longer DeMar DeRozan is going to stay with the San Antonio Spurs. LaMarcus Aldridge is not in Orlando for the NBA restart. And if Aldridge and DeRozan are your two best players, that's not a recipe for success. And don't get me wrong, we all know how legendary Greg Popovich is. We know how great of a coach he is, one of the greatest coaches of all time, five-time NBA champion, 99, 03, 05, 2017, and 2014, has been a multiple-time Coach of the Year award winner. But for the first time in a long time, really these last 2 years, you don't know what the vision is of San Antonio. You don't have Manu Ginobili anymore. You don't have Tony Parker. You don't have Tim Duncan, even though he is an assistant on that staff. But you don't have him the way that you want him. And you had Kawhi Leonard, but you got rid of Kawhi Leonard going into last season because of all the situation that did go south with Kawhi Leonard. And you see, since the last time they won a championship, 55-27, lost in the first round. Then they go 67-15, they lose in the conference semifinals. 61-21, losing the conference finals. The last 2 years, 47-35, and then 48-34. Actually, the last 3 years, because you also have this year where they're below 500. So you go through and you really see the last 3 years. It's a basketball team that they lost their way, and you don't know when they're going to be able to turn it around. This year, currently sitting at 27-36. So you wonder, how much longer does Pop want to coach? And is this the last year you want to have? With the entire pandemic, probably not. But does Pop walk away after this? And you saw in the three exhibition games, they rotated their assistant coaches in as head coaches, and Pop wasn't the quote-unquote head coach for the game, even though he's the head coach of the basketball team. And Pop did miss a game this year, and it was Tim Duncan over Becky Hammond filling in. But you start to wonder, how much longer does Pop have as the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs? And if he walks away as the head coach, will he remain in the organization, or is he totally going to walk off into the sunset and go away? Here's also something to think about. And I originally laughed at it and thought there was a 1 or 2% chance, and I still think it's a minuscule percentage of chance. And Sean Marks, who has been in the Spurs organization before and now is the general manager for the Brooklyn Nets, has denied it. If you're Pop, is there any interest getting out of your deal with San Antonio and walking away from San Antonio and going to coach Brooklyn, where next year, Brooklyn could be the second-best team in the Eastern Conference behind the Bucks? And who knows, maybe they become the first, you know, maybe they become the best team. Because you see that team, if you have KD and Kyrie healthy, that's as good as a dynamic duo as there is in the league, and there's a lot. Now, you still love LeBron and AD, you still love Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, but you look at the Eastern Conference, they're looking for that second dominant team. Would Pop say, I've done everything I can here in San Antonio. I've won 5 championships. The run that he has gone on is sensational. That's probably even not doing it even justice by just saying sensational. Would Pop consider leaving San Antonio one and going to another team? Remember, only been a head coach in the NBA, one team, San Antonio, since 1996. It's something to think about. Ultimately, I don't think it's going to happen. We've seen Tom Thibodeau go to the Knicks. Will there be an opening with the Rockets? Will there be an opening in Philadelphia? There is going to be an opening in Brooklyn. They already got rid of Kenny Atkinson. Do KD and Kyrie want Pop? How do you turn away Pop? But does Pop want to go to the Nets? I would not say bet on it, but you go through the decision-making process of Greg Popovich, there are things to consider. When will he walk away? if he does walk away, is he truly walking away or will he stay in the organization? Or does he try to get out of San Antonio with really no future for them to win anytime soon? And they're still in the playoff race. They're still competing for an eighth seed. Do you consider, though, starting something new at the age of 71 and coaching 2, 3, 4 years with the Brooklyn Nets? I don't think that's going to happen. If I had to bet today, I would say Tyronn Lue is going to be the next coach of the Brooklyn Nets. I think that is going to be the move that happens. Sean Marks, though, maybe you get into a little tampering. I would imagine that he's in the bubble with the Nets. Everyone's opting out with the Nets, though. Maybe Sean Marks, though, sees Pop and goes, hey, Pop, let's have a little conversation. And don't tell me that can't happen in terms of just having the conversation. Because Kawhi Leonard got Paul George out of OKC after a year re-signing, got him out of OKC very quickly. KD and Kyrie are meeting up at the All-Star game, having conversations, and did so very publicly. Could Greg Popovich be on the move? Odds are, most likely, next year, he's coaching San Antonio. It's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get an update in. We'll come on back. We'll do a little onsides, offsides. Oh, and also, it's a Friday. Oh, I almost forgot this. 2 weeks in a row. Bad job out of yours truly. At Zach Yelp on Twitter. Let me know how you're listening to the show and what your local affiliate is. We'll shout out your Twitter handle and your local affiliate. Get me those tweets right now. We'll read them from now until 10 p.m. Eastern when we say goodbye to you. James Jones still to come at 9 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is The Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Stu, you really know how to get me going on a Friday. Little DMX. Absolutely love it. Let me know how you're listening to the show, what your local affiliate is. We'll make sure to shout you out on Twitter. For example, like Radio To Go Online. Oh, he's tweeted me from one of my favorite places. Hey, Zach Gelb, love the show. Listening on WWL New Orleans. NOLA HD2 is how he's listening to us. Oh, I absolutely love New Orleans. I've been to New Orleans twice. One time for Mardi Gras. The other time for a Super Bowl. Go Tigers! I got to get back to Louisiana, and I got to go see an LSU football game when it's safe to do so. So I don't know whenever that's going to be, but you get me into a situation where LSU plays on a Saturday, and then let's say the Saints have a 425 or a Sunday night game, I'm all in. Because when I was a little bit younger, you go to New Orleans, you drink your face off for Mardi Gras 3, 4, or 5 days, and you're able to do that. But if I'm going to an LSU football game, I'm tailgating, I'm going nuts, I'm going to need that 425, 815, 820 kickoff on Sunday Night Football if I went to go do a little double dip there, LSU, and then go see a New Orleans Saints football game. I would need that extra resting period where I probably order a few beignets from Cafe Du Monde and maybe hit up Irene's too and just eat to try to get that hangover away from going to New Orleans. So let me know how you're listening to the show on a Friday. We'd love to connect with you each and every day, but especially on a Friday, we'd like to show you a little bit love and definitely know where our P1 listeners are from. Time to do a little onsides, offsides. Let's hit it.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Stuart, what do you got for me, brother?
All right, Zach. The Utah Jazz defeated the New Orleans Pelicans last night in an exciting back-and-forth game that ended with Brandon Ingram missing a three-point shot at the buzzer. So why is everyone complaining about the game? Well, as we discussed earlier in the show.
Do you want the answer?
Yes, we want the answer. So as
because the Pelicans medical staff, what are they doing? Like, David Griffin, come on. He doesn't have to play 35, 40 minutes. Don't sell us that crap. Zion Williamson should have been on the court last night for at least 18, 20 minutes, but I think I just ruined the question, so go ahead.
So Zion, yeah, like you said, he played just 15 minutes and didn't play the final 7 minutes of the fourth quarter of the team's final play. The Pelicans have been overly cautious with the 2019 number one overall pick because of his injury history, time away from the bubble, and expectations for him in the future. So onsides or offsides, the Pelicans are taking the right approach in limiting Zion's bubble minutes.
I didn't really need the extra time. It's obvious here that the Pelicans are not taking the right approach. I get load management. I get managing the minutes of your future, of your franchise. But you are competing for a playoff spot. You could go off the 15-minute restriction and bump him up to 18, 19, or 20 minutes. And it makes zero sense to me. When he was coming off an injury, his first game late January up against the Spurs, he did go 18 minutes. And I defended them for only playing him 18 minutes when the rest of the national media was criticizing the Pelicans. But when you're trying to make the postseason and the NBA has bent over for you and has genuflected for you and has done everything to try to put you in the postseason, all right, you want to take him out with 7:19 to go at, and he's played 15 minutes? Can't put him back in with three minutes to play. He could do a little bit better than 15 minutes. So I'm going to go offsides. The Pelicans are not taking the right approach.
Offside.
Number two. I'll try not to interrupt you here, Stu. It was just impulse there. You mentioned the Pelicans, and right away I have to scream about what I saw last night.
I don't blame you. So the last few months, we've heard a ton of speculation regarding Antonio Brown signing with an NFL franchise. Some of the rumored teams include the Seattle Seahawks after AB was catching passes from Russell Wilson, and the Ravens after the high praise from last year's MVP Lamar Jackson. Today, we found out that Antonio Brown is being suspended for 8 games for violation of the NFL personal conduct policy, beginning whenever he signs with a team. So onsides or offsides, with today's news, Antonio Brown will not be on a roster in 2020.
I think he'll be on a roster in 2020. Like we discussed earlier, some teams that you could consider, obviously the two that come right to the forefront are the Seahawks and also the Baltimore Ravens. And you start to get in this game of where else could he potentially go. Will the Packers have interest? Will the Vikings have interest? How about if Houston, after getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins, ends up bringing in Antonio Brown, 49ers? Chiefs trying to be the Golden State Warriors. Would they bring in AB? I'm not saying expect much. And he's what, on his third, fourth, fifth chance? I would not trust him. But we've seen before players do wrong and they continue to get multiple chances in this league. Why? Because talent is such a big thing. And he still, if he could get on the field, is one of the better players in the league. So Antonio Brown will not be on a roster in 2020. I go offsides. I think he will be on a roster.
Offside.
Number three.
All right, so the Lakers squeaked out a 103-100 win last night against the Clippers in the league's second game of their Thursday night doubleheader. Anthony Davis scored 34 points. LeBron James had the go-ahead basket with 12.8 seconds left. And the Lakers moved closer to clinching the number one seed in the Western Conference playoffs. Paul George had 30 points, and Kawhi Leonard scored 28 for the Clippers. The Lakers won the game, but only by 2 points, while the Clippers were missing two of their best players in Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams. Onsides or offsides, does last night's game change your view on the Lakers as the favorites?
Well, I think the Lakers are the favorite, and I still think they are the favorite to win a championship. I'm not going to change my view after one game, especially in the game that they won. Now, I get they didn't have Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, like you said, for the Clippers. The Lakers were without Avery Bradley. I know he's not going to be in Orlando as he opted out this season because of a family matter with one of his young sons. But last time he was on the court and those two teams played, he had over 20 points. And he's a very good defender, Avery Bradley. The Lakers also didn't have Rajon Rondo. My biggest takeaway from the game last night, Anthony Davis. The first two times those teams met, he was in the mid-20s. The last two times has registered back-to-back 30-plus point performances. And LeBron didn't even play a great game. He was good down the stretch, but you could tell he's still getting into game shape. So does last night's game change your view on the Lakers as the favorite? No, it does not. I still think they are the favorite on sides.
All right, so the 2020 abbreviated MLB season is underway, and things have looked different. There are new rules, coronavirus health and safety protocols, and games are being played at fanless ballparks. A change to length of doubleheaders is next. The league and the MLB Players Association have agreed to a deal to play seven-inning doubleheaders during the 2020 season, starting as early as tomorrow, according to ESPN's Jeff Passan. Having seven-inning doubleheaders instead of a pair of nine-inning games is a common practice in the minor leagues. Onsides or offsides for 2020 seven-inning doubleheaders are a good idea.
And we don't even know if baseball is going to be able to finish their season. I did see a report today from Jeff Passan. Should another outbreak materialize, Rob Manfred, who has the power to shut down the season, could move in that direction. Multiple players briefed on the call fear that the season could be shut down as soon as Monday if positive tests jump or players continue not to strictly abide by the league protocols. We saw two positive tests today with the Cardinals, 18 players and two coaches with the Marlins test positive and the Phillies clubhouse attendant and a coach test positive. This was all within the last week since Sunday. So when you ask me about this question for 2020, should seven-inning doubleheaders be a good idea? I don't even know if it's going to matter, but I do think they are a good idea on sides. And the only reason is my Mets team has a terrible bullpen. So if you get the starting pitcher into, let's say, the sixth inning on a doubleheader and only have to have one reliever, I'd be okay with that. So onside, selfishly.
All right, and real quickly, Bryson DeChambeau has set a lofty goal for himself. Nothing to do with golf. He told GQ that he wants to live to 130 or 140 years old. So onsides or offsides, you would want to live to be 140.
I would usually say no, but if I'm healthy, it would be cool to see the continuation of your family. So, yeah, onsides, offsides, would you want to live to 140? If I'm healthy and still functioning, yeah, it'd be cool to see my family continue to grow. So, yeah, onsides, I would like to live to 140. Now, 141, 142, I don't know about that, but 140, I'd be all game. What a ridiculous goal, 130 or 140. Yeah. All right, there we go. Well, come on back. James Jones going to join us. Aaron Rodgers winning the MVP next year? I say no.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.